The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What I want to talk about today usually goes by the word discipleship, although that's a very churchy word. And I fear it's become a little too much so. The word disciple, in its basic meaning, is one who is learning. All rabbis, all teachers have and probably want disciples, learners. And those learning could be from a wide variety. By variety, I mean different places and ways that would be learning or following their teacher. From full-time partners in that teaching enterprise, to those who might just have been kicking the tires on the teaching. But even that kind of statement is too linear, because the teaching of a rabbi, and Jesus is not just a rabbi, but he's never less than a teacher. The teaching of a rabbi is not just this head knowledge. The teaching of a rabbi is about life. How do we live it? So when we read about the disciples in the Gospels, we have to understand them in a couple of ways. These are the people who eventually become the apostles, those with a direct calling from God to go and preach the good news of the kingdom. They are also the types of the people of God. So there's a specific way in which Simon is called to be a fisher of men. But that's not limited to the ordained ministry. The work of discipleship is something for the people of God. And so I want to start by recognizing something unique in Luke's account. The way that Matthew and Mark would tell the story of the calling of the disciples, the emphasis is upon the immediacy. There's a moment of epiphany. Jesus is walking along the shores, sees Simon, eventually called Peter, says to him, "Follow me." And Simon drops his nets then and there and follows. We're left reading Matthew and Mark with this slightly miraculous and mystical sense of the call of Jesus, that it happens in a moment, that it's dramatic and it comes out of nowhere, which of course is exactly not the story of how most of us began our disciple walk. most of us were baptized when we couldn't remember it, absorbed the faith, its teachings and rhythms from our parents. Most of us came to the faith over time. Oh, we might have had mountaintop experiences, but not necessarily that dramatic moment. It didn't come out of nowhere. We learned. We were discipled by family, both blood and our church family. And now Luke still includes that final call, but he focuses a lot more upon what leads up to that moment. Starting in last week's gospel, we need to recognize that Peter knows Jesus for some length of time. They probably met in the synagogue of Capernaum. He was probably in that congregation that was amazed at his teaching. And why I say that is because when Jesus leaves that synagogue, he goes to Simon's house. And while at Simon's house, he heals Simon's mother-in-law. So Simon has heard Jesus' teaching. He's seen the power of it in casting out demons. He's been personally affected by the healing of his mother-in-law. And then he's seen how this rabbi, Jesus, acts when the entire town comes to Simon's front door seeking him. How Jesus heals everyone. And then, when it is day, how Jesus would decide on the priority of preaching the kingdom in other towns as well. Peter witnesses all of that first, which is a bit more like our common story. And all the while this is happening, and it could have been longer than you might think, because Luke introduces this chapter of our reading today with "on one occasion." So it gives you the sense that there are many occasions, that Jesus has been teaching and healing long enough to have separate occasions where the crowds are gathering. And it just so happens that this crowd is big enough that they were pressing on him, that there might have been some fear that he'd been pushed into the sea by the crowds. But one of the fishermen that are back on the shore after a fruitless night is Simon. So Jesus negotiates a little bit with him, climbs into his boat, and Simon lets Jesus use his boat as his pulpit. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. But when he finished speaking, the payment is due. So Jesus tells Simon, "Put out to the deep and let down your nets. Your payment for my use of your boat is out there." And Simon's answer back to Jesus comes in two parts. First, he calls Jesus master. Simon recognizes the authority of Jesus' teaching. There is a way that Simon has already become a disciple of Jesus. He recognizes the man's authority over it. Second, Simon may not be so sure of everything that Jesus says. "We toiled all night and took nothing." But Simon does it. "At your word, I will let down the nets." When we are talking about discipleship, Luke's picture of Simon rings true to me. And if you've had the more dramatic forms, I'm not dismissing those. There are a lot of good road to Damascus disciples when the experience comes first. And then, like Paul, blinded from the experience, you have to take some time to absorb it later. But Simon has heard the kingdom proclaimed. He's seen the good of the kingdom, both in the community and in his family. And at some point, he intellectually consented that, yes, this Jesus has authority over my life. Enough so that when Jesus says to do something, even if Simon doesn't think it makes much sense, Simon would do it. And it's at that point that the something greater happens. Simon submits to the word of God. And so many fish jump in that the nets are breaking. And they have to call over some other boats to help with the catch. And it's at that point that Simon has his epiphany. This Jesus is not just another teacher. As I said, he's never less than a teacher, but that the epiphany is when Simon is driven to his knees. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. This teacher and the word that Simon has come to know is not just another guru. This is the Lord. This is the one worthy of worship. Hence, Peter on his knees. This Jesus is the one worthy of being called Lord. And I think in every discipleship walk, there is exactly this moment. Maybe it comes like Paul and shatters everything that you thought in a moment. Lord, who are you? Paul would ask. But it can also come like Simon. This one. This word. This Jesus is not just a good teacher. This one is God. And somehow, the creator of the universe has made himself apparent in my life. And when the creator of the universe, the Lord, has revealed himself to you in this way, there are a couple of reactions. The first is, please leave. Depart from me. We're probably a little amazed at how we missed it before. How you could witness everything that he had done on your doorstep and not have recognized God. But now that we do, now we see the one that has carried us. It's too much. Please just let me go back into my ignorance. We've probably all drifted away at some point. Maybe we've even run away. Simon's second reaction is the counter to that wanting to get away. And it's always the response and start of a deep faith. The confession. I am a sinful man. That first action of faith, of discipleship, when you encounter the living God, is repentance. God, if you won't go away, if you won't leave me alone, forgive me. And that opens the door to the entirety of the discipleship. For Christ does not come to condemn us, but to save us. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid." We might be poor, miserable sinners, but Christ has come for sinners only. And the same word that Simon trusted in temporal things to let down those nets, we should also trust in eternal things. Do not be afraid. The Father loves you through His Son. The kingdom comes for you. And the kingdom has saved you. It's filled your boat with more than it can handle. That kingdom also comes with the call. You've met God. You've seen. Now go tell. From now on, you will be catching men. For Simon, that is rather more dramatic. When they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. That's what Simon's discipleship walk was. Most of ours are probably not that dramatic. But we do have that same call to live in the midst of our vocations as witnesses to Christ. Because the kingdom has come to us. Not just in some mental understanding, but the kingdom has come to us in its full authority. Your sins are forgiven. This is the body and blood of Christ. You are surrounded by witnesses, fellow disciples. And from now on, you have a vocation. Witness to what you have seen and know. Witness to the goodness of the Lord. Amen.